efficiency. The good minister initiates, the bad minister reacts. The master. He had a scratch. It ran down the outer side of his right shin. His legs were pleasingly hairless, although freckled, and the red line of his scratching was obvious.
"It's not a scratch, it's an itch," said his wife, who was reading her emails in bed. "Do you think I've got something? It's sort of tingly." "Yes, my love. You've got a Messiah complex."
Sadie glanced over at him.
"But sadly it isn't fatal.
Not for you, anyway."
"My love, you have woken in an acid condition. Hey, it's all my fault. We don't spend enough time together."
Sadie rolled away from him, heaving the duvet over her, and groaned. The master climbed out of bed. He slept naked.
"There's nothing today that I can't cancel. We should have a walk. We should have lunch together, just the two of us. Talk." "You really are the most invincibly vain man I've ever met. Do you think I don't have things to do, people to meet?"
The master, feeling hurt but discovering no plausible retort, made his way to the bathroom. Sadie listened to the creak of the floorboards under him.
"And don't just stand in there admiring your bottom in the mirror. For a man of your age, it's undignified, even in private."
It was true that the master was well-toned. Well into his 60s, there was barely a finger of loose flesh on him. Sadie sometimes referred to him as Dorian Gray. The muscles on his arms, chest and legs were well-defined. He had escaped varicose veins, precancerous moles and cellulite. He particularly prided himself on his bottom, which he felt was still a work of art. But work was right. He had worked hard for this body. After losing power, years of travelling had been made tolerable by frantic workouts in hotel gyms from Abu Dhabi to Singapore. When he wasn't speaking, he was jogging. There was nothing he could do about his face, which was scored and tautened by decades of stress, public smiling, and late-night reading. So far, he hadn't been tempted by Botox or a facelift. And anyway, if anything, he looked too young for his age. He quite fancied thicker eyebrows, he sometimes thought. But meanwhile, his body, the feeling of it and the look of it, was a completely legitimate pleasure. Sadie was probably jealous. That, he thought, was probably why she was trying to get him to cut Petrie loose. Feminism was all very well in public, but... After the master had disappeared into the bathroom, Sadie flung the duvet away and hurriedly dressed herself in jogging pants, sports bra, and a juicy top. The bloody man wasn't giving up on his nasty little Scottish boy. She was a heavy woman, but still young-looking. She lit a vanilla-scented candle and tucked herself on the floor for her customary 20 minutes of mindfulness. Mindfulness, she said, was yoga without the moaning. But before she began, she reached for her phone and texted every one of her 8 children. Voice recognition helped, but each of the 8 messages was personal, appropriate, and up-to-date. Only then did she switch off the phone and close her eyes. The master returned, clean and shaven, in a pressed blue shirt and smart grey trousers. He watched her for a moment and coughed. A spasm of irritation passed across her face. He thought about it, then coughed again. This time her eyes opened and she turned around.
"No, you are not ill. You're pathetic. That's not even a real cough. And so, no, it's nothing serious."
"Sorry, darling. All I wanted to do was talk.
Did you hear the debate last night? Caroline and Petrie?"
"Of course I did. I stayed up and watched it on the parliamentary channel."
"She trounced him, didn't she?
I'm actually amazed that you can't see that."
"Perhaps you're right. but I've been thinking. Inadvertently, perhaps, didn't we give her a lot more help than we gave Mr. Petrie? True, but we had to. He went for her ferociously, that wretched newspaper article, and to use FGM against her. That was completely unacceptable. It was inappropriate. Sadie, you're right. But hey, that was our guys. Sometimes they get a bit Hunger Games. Don't blame the runner. And he did make that excellent speech about Trident and Egypt. I was talking to Don in Washington.
Don was their eldest son.
And he said it was noticed there. Caroline hasn't done anything quite that bold so far. Sure, she's lovely, but she lacks a bit of inner steel.
Sadie, realizing that mindfulness was off this morning's agenda, unknotted herself. She had come to feel rather proprietorial about Caroline Phillips.
Caro's more than tough enough, and she's going to come right. We need to get her a government job. You need to call in some favours. In fact, if you're not too distracted by any passing mirrors, you might get to work on it today. I'm going to see her myself later on.
Really? Where are you off to?
To help train my team. Somewhere White and Khan can't overhear us.